Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome to week 8 of the Amazing Career Project. So, I'm having an interesting morning. I pick up the phone 3 minutes before our call, and there's no dial tone, which usually means we've had a power outage or something's going on with our phone service. So I'm calling in from my cell phone, and if I drop off or anything, hang with me, stay on for a few minutes. And I will, I'll try to get back in touch with you all. All right? Gotta be flexible today with technology, don't we? How's everybody doing? How's it going for those of you who have holidays coming up? How is it? You know, I'd love to spend a little time. It's not kind of in the agenda officially, but I'd love to talk a little bit about the holidays and how we feel about them, and how we can nurture ourselves and protect ourselves from some negativity that and challenge that we have during the holidays. One, excuse me, overdoing it, being too exhausted, feeling too pressured to, I wrote an article about this or mentioned it. When my kids were little, oh my gosh, I'd go so over the top. Around Santa, you know, really creating a magical feeling for them, wrapping everything differently and signing the notes from Santa differently. And it was magical. And I'm certainly not meaning to sound like I'm complaining, but I would often feel really exhausted and stressed. Was I doing the best? Was I giving them the most magical experience? Now that they're older, you know, it's a whole different thing. We just enjoy each other. It's not about trying to please and trying to create. It's about really being very present with them and enjoying. So if anyone is going through anything about the holidays that they want to talk about, I'd love to spend a little time on that if you want to. Does anyone have anything they want to jump in and mention or share before we get to today's topic? Just press your star 2 and I can call on you. All right. What we're talking about today is overcoming your blocks and resistance to amazing success. Now, I know we've kind of touched on this a little bit all throughout, but I really want to hit home on some very, very important concepts that most people on the planet don't know, and they certainly don't know about it in relation to their career and to what they're doing for a living and how it impacts the success of that and the reward of that. So I want to talk about that. I also want to say we are officially at the halfway point of the 16-week Amazing Career Project. Can you believe that? Halfway. Woohoo. And we are in the let go phase, which is one of my favorites, maybe the favorite. I think when we can let go of what holds us back, then we soar. So that's the way I view it. So let's just jump right in. And let me just check that no one sent in any questions via the internet. Nope. Okay. Let's go. Let's go to the slides. So takes a second to load here. All right. Let's talk about this week's takeaway. Overcoming your limitations to more joy, more fulfillment, more passion, more purpose, and creating life as you truly want it is why you are here on this planet today. I really believe that. We don't come in, you know, to this world necessarily with everything we need to thrive. We have to learn it. We have to develop it. We have to build it. We have to receive it. And often, you know, our education, our development, how we grow is limited by what we're getting around us, from our authority figures to experiences that we maybe misinterpret or interpret in ways that really shut us down. So there are some limitations to joy, to fulfillment, to passion. And I want to talk about those, and I want us to get over those quickly because we can. So I talk in the video about, and do watch this video. I think you'll don't miss this one. I talk about getting in the cage with your fears. And, you know, the more I stretch, the more I watch my experience of fear and how I handle it. And I'm going to share just a little recent story and see if this is helpful to you. I yesterday did something I've never done, which is I had an all-day video shoot, which I have done before for the Amazing Career Project and some other things. But this one was to record four videos, free videos for my upcoming coach certification program, which I'm launching in January. And never before have I not had some aids, like an easel or a teleprompter. And the videographer really wanted me to not use aids in any way. And I didn't actually know that till he came to the house. But as I was preparing for this four-part video series, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot to build curriculum. Think about something you know really, really well. You might know millions of bytes of information about it. But to craft it, you know, down to 20 minutes to share the most important things in a flow and an order that's going to grab somebody, I find it not easy. I love it, but so I, as I'm preparing for this, I'm getting resentful. Why am I doing this? Why don't I just do this as a webinar? Why do I need to do this on video and get the house ready and get me ready? And I notice when I have fear, I get mad, I get resentful, I start blaming. I start questioning. Why am I doing this? Why did I say I was going to do this? And literally, invariably, once the thing is done, I'm overjoyed and exuberant and grateful. From the first time I was on television to the first time I sang a solo in public to the first time I was, you know, recorded on you know, did a radio show, whatever. So I think it's really interesting, number one, to get in the cage with your fears. Why, number two, just do the thing. But watch your process of it. How do you experience when you're about to stretch? What do you do? Is there blame? Like, you know, why do I have to do it this way? Is there, oh, no, I'm not going to be able to do it. That's where I go. Like, ugh. And there's also questioning. Why did I say I wanted to do this? Why? So what's your largest obstacle? For so many, underlying all of that is I don't have what it takes. And that was me even yesterday or preparing for this thing. I don't have what it takes to do this, you know, 4 hours of videoing kind of without an aid, without cues, just to do this. And, you know, for me, launching content for coaches, to train coaches, it's a different focus. And it's a new area, so I don't talk about it with as much ease as I do, you know, career growth. So what's underneath your fears? And I'm pretty sure you're going to find some piece of it being, I don't have what it takes. One thing I did not talk about in the video that I do want to touch on because I think it's really, really important. Hang on, I'm going to make sure my cell phone's working here. Hang on. Good, we're doing great. Are the 8 stages of career transformation. So let me talk to you about this. I have found in working with so many people who come to me and say, I don't like what I have. But I would say 95% say, but I don't really know what I want. And then get on the path, like exactly like we're doing in this program. This is career transformation. You're not just changing jobs. You are transforming yourself and your career. And within that, there is a process I found of phases that represent our emotional experience. And there are 8 stages. And here's what I think they are. Number one, we begin to disengage. So it's disengagement. So you might have been, you know, really actively focused on your current career, and all of a sudden, you're starting to disengage. You're starting not to think of yourself only in that role. You're starting to pull away. And, you know, this is true of career, of relationship transformation, physical transformation. I think this is true of most aspects of, or most forms of transformation. So you're starting to disengage, but the reality is you don't know what you're going to from there. So the second stage is you're starting to disidentification. You're beginning to untangle your identity from this thing. And gosh, did I live through all of this, you know, from the minute I was chucked out in this brutal layoff of my corporate life. So I didn't have the blessing of 16 weeks to transform. I did it, had to do it starting overnight, you know, like, okay, you don't have a job now. So I wake up in the morning and I have to begin to disengage and to disidentify, stop identifying with corporate vice president. And the third stage is disorientation. You're leaving behind what you had, but you are completely disoriented. Where's my North Star? That's gone, or that's going to be gone. Where am I going? You know, just like you've spun around 52 times and you come out of the spin dizzy. Where am I going? Right? And none of this is easy, right? It comes with a lot of emotions. The fourth is you begin to let go. You start to come out of disorientation and you start to say, I'm starting to see what I have to let go of here. But you still don't know what the end point is, but you know that you got to shift. And then stage five is a little bit of re-engagement. Ooh, re-engaging in yourself, re-engaging in life as it could be, re-engaging in the idea that I can have a life or career that I want. You start to get excited again. I remember the first time that ever happened to me after I was laid off. I was laid off in October after 9/11. And then the holidays started to come. And I remember driving down the highway near where I live, and I noticed all of these stores that I never noticed before. And I had to go to one. It was called the Golf, something about, not the Golf Store, but it had very cool, golf art. It had golf art. It had golf artifacts and wonderful little gifts. And my dad was a golfer, and I wanted to get him a gift. And I had a moment of re-engagement walking into that store. I had a chat with the owner, and I thought, and he had been an artist and an art dealer, and he was passionate about golf, and he married up the two. And I thought, look at everything that's around me here. Look at all this that I never noticed. And it was like a light bulb that there are so many cool people doing so many cool things. And why had I been so uni-focused on the corporate life? So that was my re-engagement moment, and things started to shift from there. Number six stage is discovery. You start to discover about the world, about you, about your talents, about what's possible. It's so exciting. Number seven is clarity. You've re-engaged. You've researched. You've discovered, and now you're starting to get clear. And finally, it's integration. You integrate everything you've learned. You've let go of what needs to let go, and you are there in this new chapter. So I would love you to think about which stage do you think you're in here? Disengagement, disidentification, disorientation, letting go, re-engagement, discovery, clarity, and integration. And again, none of these things that I present are static and set in stone. One day you can feel like you're in re-engagement. The next day you're in discovery. The next day, I'm disoriented. It's not a static thing. Life is not static. It's flexible, fluid, circular. But today, where do you feel you are? I would say for me, you know what's interesting? I'm so focused and will for the foreseeable future be focused on helping women 30 to 55, those ages are fluid, build amazing careers they love. But now I'm in a phase of beginning to teach coaches. And that's a whole new thing. That's a re-engagement, discovery, clarity, integration. And do I have to let go of some things? Yeah. I have to let go of some assumptions I've had about so many coaches that I see who aren't really caring about being of service. They just want to make $1 million, which really turns me off. Well, I have to let go of focusing on that. And I have to engage in focusing on attracting coaches and new coaches and people who work with personal development. I want to attract people who want to be of service. So that's that. Tell me where you think you are. All right. Now, I mentioned in the video the case of the Grievels, you got to watch that Monique Marvez. If you haven't read my book, you got to read the chapter about Monique. She's now quite a famous comic, comedian, Latina comedian. She's amazing. And she talks about when you go towards something else, there's almost always a sense of loss of aspects of your old self. It's just part of the deal. There's disorientation, sadness, bumping up against new challenges. And for her, she gets a fever. She gets sick. And when I think back, I have gotten sick, you know, before a real period of expansion. So do you have a case of the grievals? You know, is there a sense of loss? Even if you want to move away from what you were, there's still loss about that. So, you know, what I am trying to do here also is share with you what you could expect and normalize it. Doesn't mean you're going in the wrong direction. You know, life isn't about, as we know, always being happy and skipping along the street. You know, it's not always a garden of roses. There are challenges, and you might be going through some of those right now. So this week I'm talking about your beliefs. Your beliefs shape every single thing that happens. I'm acutely aware of that in my relationships, in how I talk to my kids or my husband, or you know, how I communicate when I'm stressed, and what are the beliefs under that. Your beliefs shape everything. So I'm asking in this week's work to look at your core beliefs in a number of critical categories, because these critical categories are shaping everything. I'm wanting you to look at these categories, the beliefs, where you got them, and how they are reinforced. And the question is, are they serving you? And if they're not, what are we going to do about them? We're going to get new beliefs, but how? And how are we going to go do that? All right, so quickly, I'm going to share these categories, but there's more in the video for each of these. So first of all, I'm looking at, now we're talking about internal beliefs. And sometimes they're subconscious, so you've got to do the work of bringing them forward so that they can be conscious and you can see, you can evaluate them. Wow, do I really believe that now? Like my belief a year ago that, so many coaches, thousands of coaches are coming on the scene and all they care about is making money and not being of service. Well, am I really going to stand in that belief or am I going to let that go? Yeah, there's a lot of people that are doing that, but there's a lot of people that are not. So is that belief helping me now? I'm really going to think about that every day because that's really kept me very stuck. All right. Sorry, I had to pop to the dashboard for a minute, make sure everyone is on the call. Okay, so I want you to look at, if you would, what are your beliefs around yourself? And, you know, again, where do we get most of this stuff? From childhood, from the sandbox, from what you learned in your family, right? What were you told by authority figures when you were little about you? What were you told? Like, what did I get from my childhood? I got some good things, like my mom always said, you can always do what you want. But I also got, you're sounding a little braggarty here. I don't like it, you know, and that happened when I was a star in some of the plays. And in my mom's view, I was getting a big head. And she would, you know, slap me down when that would happen. Well, I got messages about that. It's not good to shine. Oh, lots of messages. What did you get? What were your beliefs about yourself? Did you think you were right? You know, wow, when I read everyone's career path assessment with my private clients, they share what they believe about themselves. It's really clear. But often they don't understand that that's what they believe. But it often comes from what we were told as children before we were kind of fully cooked. So I got that I'm smart. I got that I'm fun to be around. I got that maybe I could be too braggarty. You know, these are the things I learned about myself. But again, they're often other people's beliefs that are projected onto you. So what did you get? How about your worth? Some families have spirituality that teaches every human being on this planet is worthy and worth and valuable. Some people are not taught that. Some people are taught that you're more valuable than others. You're more worthy than others. It's a really important thing you understand. What is your worth? What do you believe your worth is? And again, first of all, you gain awareness of the belief. Secondly, you look at, is this helping me? Third category is help and support. Oh, wow. We are taught so much in our childhood about help and support. Is it there or is it not? You know, I know people with families where their mother always felt like the father didn't help. You're no good father, or I'm the one always doing all the work, or you children are lazy. What did you get in terms of beliefs around, is there help and support readily available for you, or is life going to be a struggle? How about the next category, women in the world? I'll talk about that. My dad, who has passed away, as you know, he really believed that a woman's place was in the home. And did he ever say that to me? Never. But did I get the sense? I mean, he really did his best not to ever put me down. He was just, or put anyone down. He was just a light in the world, and I adore him, and I still talk to him wherever he is. But when someone believes that a woman's place is in the home, then when they see the woman not in the home, they don't love it. What'd you get about women in the world? Are they powerful? Are they mighty? Are they competent? Should they be quiet? What did you get? And the rest of these categories, power. Who had the power? How did they wield it? Did you have access to it? Did your mother have access to it? How was it communicated? How was it used? How was power and influence used? And what do you believe about it? Same for money. How about, and we talked about money. There's a lot of tools I'm giving you about looking at your money story. And in fact, in the homework, there's a really helpful exercise. Put an X on the scale of how of each of these questions about how money was handled in your household. And I guarantee you, unless you have done work on this, the way it was handled as you were growing up is in some way repeating itself and making itself clear in the way you handle money. How about balancing multiple roles? If you had a mom who worked, how'd she do? Did she balance it well, or did she complain a lot, right? I tried to be really careful when I launched my business and my kids were still little, not to complain about work-life balance, because, you know, the more we complain and set it up for our children that it's hard, then they're going to think it's hard. But what did you get about it? Putting yourself first, how about that? Some people with very rigid beliefs think that putting yourself first is selfish. And you won't go to heaven, you know, or whatever it is. What did you get? How about how the world works? You know, our authority figures and our families reveal what they think by the way they respond to challenges, by the way they respond to good things and seemingly negative things about how the world works. Is it a positive world? Is it a friendly, benevolent world? What is it? Is there a higher power? Is there a universal intelligence? Is someone out there supporting you? It's interesting. I and my family members talk about this a lot. I believe that I get support. You know I do. From I feel that because I've talked about angels. You know, it's amazing to me when I stop and look at my life. When I ask for something in my mind, it sometimes shows up the next day. The next day. I believe that there is support. I believe it's a benevolent, supportive world, but some people don't. Some people feel the opposite. And times today, the world is very uncertain and scary. I get that. But how do you think it works? What about fear, safety, and security? I take a breath on that one. I really do. When my kids were little, I would worry a lot about their safety because it's so out of your hands. Well, life is out of our hands, isn't it, really? I mean, we co-create in some ways, but we're not in control of everything. Of course we're not. What do you feel about fear, safety, and security? And how about having what it takes to persevere and thrive? Do you believe you do? Were you taught that you do? And finally, meaning and purpose. I mentioned in the video, you know, I believe there's a meaning and purpose in life. And did I believe that as a kid? I'm not even sure I articulated that. And I was raised Greek Orthodox, but we stopped going to church, and meaning and purpose was not talked about in my church experience. So where did I start getting that as an adult when I woke up and realized I had no meaning and purpose in my career? All my meaning and purpose was with my family. And I wanted it in my career. So I spent a lot of time understanding what is meaning and purpose? What gives life purpose? What is a mission for someone's life? And what if you don't have one? What do you do? So those are the areas I'd love you to begin with thinking about. There are many other areas, but these to me are really potent in helping you identify beliefs that are holding you back and also creating a career you love. So which ones, what I'd love you to share on Facebook and think about is, think about your beliefs in these categories. And what one belief are you now aware of that you didn't know before that you think is holding you back or not supporting you at the highest level? Right? And what will you do to release it? Now, sometimes, you know, just saying, I don't want to believe that anymore, you know, that coaches, for instance, don't care, many coaches don't care about being of service. You know, you can say, I don't want to believe that anymore, or you can start looking for evidence of the contrary, which, you know, immediately, now that's one example. I've reached out, now that I'm going to be training coaches and launching this big program, I've reached out to people in the coaching world. And I got invited to join a Facebook group, Mark Mawinney's Facebook group of coaches. And these people are awesome. And I'm part of Goalie.com, which is a collection of top coaches from around the world who are giving free video strategies. Check that out. Free, some amazing people on that. These people are giving amazing. So I decided I wanted to look for evidence for the fact that that belief is no longer really serving me. So you can do it that way as well. Start to ask for help to look for evidence that a more positive belief is actually right to believe in. All right? So what's your top aha? I'd love you to share that on Facebook, please. And I know the holidays are coming up, and I want to reinforce and remind, we are not meeting in the next 2 weeks because I want to give you time to be fully there for your family, for your friends, for yourself. To restore, to get a massage, to revel in music, whatever fills your heart and soul and spirit. I would love you to focus on that so we don't have class for 2 weeks. But what I am going to ask you is, can you be active on Facebook? And again, if you need support, and I don't think I mentioned that on the call before, and I want you to, let me go to our support page, but the wonderful Laura Neff has given you a holiday gift, which is to work with her in a 30-minute session at a discounted price. And that is on our support page. You go to one-on-one coaching with Laura Neff, click on that link, and you can see that she's given you, and I'm looking for it here, a wonderful discount, special holiday rate of $100, not $125, until January 30th. 30 minutes, one-on-one work with Laura, who's amazing. That is our holiday gift to you, and I hope you'll use it. You know, getting one-on-one personalized, focused, laser-focused help from an outside perspective who's really amazing like Laura can really be the biggest gift you can give yourself this year. All right, so let's open it up. Tell me what you're thinking about everything. Beliefs that are keeping you stuck. The 8 stages of career transformation. Anything that we've mentioned. Tell me. Raise your hand. Start to. And I will go to the Q&A. All right. Let's see what we got here. Oh, yay. Here we go. Is that you, Kim?
It is me, Kim.
How are you?
I am doing all right.
Okay, that sounded hesitant. Tell us more about that.
It is a little hesitant, but it's hesitant because I'm sort of in the midst of lots of change, and I'm hoping it's going to be good.
Yeah, tell us all about it.
Well,
how can I help?
What's really resonating with me is, because I'm looking for this, moving out of the field I'm in to another field.
Right.
I think that's what I'm looking at. So the gremlin tells me I can't take these 25 years of skills won't transfer.
Mm.
And so that's what I'm working on, and I need to get over that.
All right, let's dimensionalize it. What was your field, and what are you thinking of going to do?
So field, emergency services. The specific thing I've been doing for the last 2 years is training and quality improvement. And
okay.
So I'm actually looking to, from a lifestyle point of view first, working in my close to home, in an environment that is positive. Like I'm looking at the work environment first rather than the position.
Okay.
Do I want to work in this company? And I think I found one that sounds pretty amazing. That uses more of my passion of psychology.
Mm.
Yeah. So there's
right
training in quantum.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, but...
Let me ask you this, Kim.
Mm-hmm.
How do I say this? There is no question, you know, where do beliefs come from? They come from experience, they come from research, they come from what we focus on. So my answer to that question, and based on 10 years of work with over 10,000 people, is anyone on the planet can take their skills and transfer it to another field. There isn't one person on this planet who cannot. That's my belief. And it's based on literally, you know, 19 million views on Forbes and comments and that, right? So I have data that says that that is the case, that there is the potential for every person on this planet to do that. Now, can everybody actually do it? No, because they don't take the right steps. But what is behind your belief that you can't? Let's break that down. What does the gremlin say? Why can't you? You're not smart enough. You're too old. Nobody wants you. What is it saying?
I think it is more that I have never done it. I've been in the same field for my entire mm-hmm. career, growing up within it. And I know I can learn. I learn very well. I'm still in university at 45 and doing very well, balancing that with my, you know, 60-plus hour week job. So I know that's what I have to focus on, I think. I know I can learn. Maybe it's the foot in the door of, would you look at me when my resume just screams one tract?
Were your family in emergency services?
No.
Nobody. So you did it for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like there's something more we have to say here that we haven't gotten to. So you've done it for 25 years. Do you know anyone who's changed careers besides me? You know, I did mine for 18 years. Do you know anyone who's changed careers after 25 years?
That's a really interesting question. After that long, no. My husband did 10 years ago.
Okay.
Totally changed careers.
So I'm going to ask you a really probing, it might sound weird, but I want to know. So, you know, I'm running this program, right? You know,
yep.
That after 18 years in corporate in marketing, publishing, and membership services, where I at 40 said, oh my God, there's nothing else I can do, but I hate this. And then at 40, I said, screw this, I'm going to become a therapist, and did it. You know all that, right?
Yes. This is,
so
I mean, your story is what resonates so closely with me, because I want to
wonderful.
Do that.
So if I could do it, what do you think what do you believe I have that maybe you don't? Why can I do that?
Connections? I don't know if that's true.
Not true. Has no connections. Nobody.
Okay.
Nothing.
That time to be able to go back to school, the resources to be able to go back to school to get that different degree to be able to start.
Okay. And I'll just share with you, I went through all my money.
Okay.
I went through all of it. That's why I almost lost my house.
Wow, that's
5 years ago. Yep, I didn't. Although I will be honest, I got a settlement after they laid me off. It was so not copacetic. I got a settlement, and I used that to fund the $30,000 master's and to live for a little bit.
Right.
But really, there wasn't much. Okay. What else? Anything else that you think I might have that you don't?
Some unnamed, you know,
magic
blessing. I don't know.
That's it. Well, it is, Kim. You just nailed it. nobody has anything more. I mean, yes, we have a little this, a little that, but, you know, I really had nothing except who I was. And you have who you are. And really, that's it. That's all you need. And a deep, burning, the other thing you have to have, every one of you on this call, in this program, has to have it, a deep, burning desire to do it and a commitment that won't stop. So, you know, I just talked to you about how stressed I was about doing a day-long video shoot. I was thinking, why am I doing it before it happened? I don't want to do it. And then I'm getting all pissy about it. But I know me now. I know that's how I get. And I, you know, I even thought for a second, maybe I can cancel it and just do this as a webinar. But I know myself. I know you're not getting out of this. Uh-uh. So you kind of got to get hip to how you keep yourself stuck.
Yeah.
So now that I hope you know, you have what it takes. So what are we going to have you do here? What do we have to have you do? So this new field, how far away is it in terms of what, you know, how transferable are your skills to this new thing you want to do?
I actually think it's more aligned because it's based in positive psychology, which is my absolute passion. And it's training. It's training on, you know, training is training. You can kind of train anything once you know the material, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different field, but I think it's really more closely aligned to me as a person and what I am passionate about.
All right. And what are you there?
I am.
What do you have to do to get on the road to number one, determining, trying this on to see if it's really right? Because as you know, we make mistakes. I became a therapist and that wasn't right.
Right.
The journey was right. The destination was not right. What do you have to do to try this on and then get your foot in the door? What do you have to do?
I think I actually just need to reach out and make a connection.
Well, how about this week? And tell me, can you tell me more about it? Is it an agency?
A newer company here, and their whole field is on how to make employees happier at work. They have a platform. They use apps to measure employee happiness, and they have interventions on what to do when they find that it's all about data. And when you're saying data, I love data. And so it's, what do you do? Organizational psychology, how to, because happier employees, it's a money thing, right? If you have people who are happier, they'll stay longer, they'll be more productive. So it's a really innovative, I could bike there. That's one of my goals, is I want to be able to bike to work.
So what would you do there? What job do you want there?
Well, there isn't actually, you know, it's a small company and they don't have any openings, but they need people to train. I also think they're so small, they may need people just to be managing the other people there.
Oh, so there's so many things I want to share. First of all, let's tease this out. I love that you have an idea of a company you want to work for, but I don't want you to limit yourself to that.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to think more about what is the work. I have a little concern about that's the company I want to work for versus these are the types of organizations I want to work for, these are the types of cultures, and this is the type of thing I want to do. Because, Kim, when we just focus on one thing, it can be devastating. We can put all our eggs in one basket, and then they cannot have a job, and then where are you?
Well, that makes sense. This just is the first one where there is a job where I could do all the things that I love. So really, I think maybe that's what I'm not communicating well. Like, this company is the first time I've ever seen people who have a job as all the things that I would love to do.
But do you really know that the people feel that way about it? I mean, I think that's waxing
right, okay,
poetic.
Fair enough. Yes, no, I would need to
explore
that with the
actual. You know, and believe me, I love happiness. And everyone who works in happiness needs to study Sean Acor and Michelle Gielen. They're doing exactly that. They have tons of research. And they change Fortune 500 companies.
Yeah, and
they change the bottom line.
Well,
is it Happify?
No, it's not. Oh, no, it's not Happify. But Sean is one of the, he's one of the.
Oh, very cool.
Link, yeah.
All right. So, I love it. So, one thing you mentioned. So, I would say this: don't stop looking. Keep
yes,
identifying organizations that excite you. Number two, you're going to have to change your resume a little.
Understood. Yes, that's one of the things I have on my list this week because it has to be very different, and that's a struggle. But I have resources
yep.
to help me do that.
Perfect. Wonderful. All right. So, what do you think about reaching out? How do you want to do it, and when?
Well, I am actually waiting. I have a friend, a colleague, who is a positive psychologist, and I just, through LinkedIn, I'm getting to learn all these things about LinkedIn and how valuable it is. The president of this company and my friend Greg used to work together at my friend Greg's
oh my God.
Company. So I've sent an email to Greg saying, tell me the real deal about this company. You know, is it as happy as it says? Is this guy the legit person? Would you, and asking for an introduction that way.
How fantastic.
And I would just like
totally
to almost an an informational interview just to find out what it's like.
I love that. Before you do that, I'd love to chat with you, or Laura could chat with you about, I'm not a fan of informational interviews because in certain ways, because for instance, when it's the company that you want, you don't want to waste the opportunity of being in front of him or her without really having a wonderful story to say about how fantastic you are for this job, for this company. Because it's a whole different energy to ask for an informational interview than, man, would I love to be considered, and I'd love to be a member of this team.
Much more specific.
And here's what I have to bring to that. I have training in positive psychology. I use it every day, 25 years experience in this. But you want to shape that story so that they understand exactly what you could bring to them.
Okay.
And informational interviews don't do that necessarily. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, that makes sense. That's not the right thing.
Yeah. Well, I think that what you want, Kim, is a half a step away. So what can we do to help you shift that belief that I can't do it? Yeah, you've never done it. But, my God, if we didn't do things we'd never done, nothing would happen, you know? How can you shift that? Do you feel like it's shifted a little already, or you still need work on that?
I think it's shifting. What I need to do, I think, is to do more writing, visualizing, like actually taking that leap of faith to say I can do it. And
yeah.
Picture myself in something different. And thinking,
that's exactly what happened. I'm sorry?
And I'm saying, like, well, Kathy did it, you know.
Oh.
Instead of putting some magical thing on you, well, you did it because of, you know, these unknown reasons. No, people.
Exactly right. That's exactly it.
And it's more
truly a belief.
Yeah, and I want
and if you can,
so badly that it, you know, if I think about it, if I think about something positive that's going to happen and then it doesn't happen, then it would be all that much more terrible. And that's the part I have to throw away.
Yeah. And that, you're not alone. The reason many people won't dream big or go for it is because they think that they're not going to live through the pain of it not coming to be.
Yeah.
But the reality is, if it doesn't come to be, then you're not meant to be there. It's not the happy place for you that it would be. It's not the stepping stone you need. I mean, the more we can believe that this is a benevolent universe on our side, and that if there's so many examples, you know, the actor who doesn't get the job, the role of his dreams, and he's so devastated, he doesn't even want to leave his house. Until he's told, actually, that there's something better for you. And if you took that, you wouldn't be able to have this, you know, 5-year contract on this TV show. There's something better. If this doesn't work out, there's something better. But it's not the reason not to move, you know. Does that help, Kim?
Mm-hmm. It does. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for sharing. Keep us posted. Good luck.
I will.
I hope you reach out to them soon. I hope Greg has a good connection there for you.
Yes, me too.
All right. Thank you. And happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
No, thank you. Bye. All right, who's got a question? These are fantastic. Who's going to share? Raise your hand. Star 2. Or let me go to the Q&A and see what people have here. quiet again. No, submit something, folks. Let me help you. Who's going to raise? This is your chance. We've got 15 more minutes before. Yay. Wonderful. 15 more minutes before the holiday break starts. All right, what do we have? We have Bellevue, Washington.
Hi, Kathy. This is Lisa Cook.
Hi, Lisa. How are you doing?
Great. You wanted me to check in with you. I did an energy session with Lynn.
How'd it go? Tell us.
Well, it's amazing how talented she is at understanding situations in such a short period of time. So she quickly grasped where I was, and so we're working on kind of getting in touch with feelings and how I feel throughout the day, keeping a journal on that. And she has certain techniques that she uses to help me sort out those feelings. So I just wanted to share that I'd done that, and I'm finding it fascinating and helpful. So thank you for suggesting her.
I'm so glad. Can you tell us, so we all can learn, what's the one biggest aha in terms of feelings, you know, watching yourself and journaling? What's something you didn't know before you went to see her?
They are always there for you. Whether, you know, it really is a matter of focus and attention. And in my instance, it was kind of slowing things down to understand them and to know that, but they're always there. It's really when you say you're kind of shoving them aside, it's not that they go away. They're there. They're just kind of waiting to be demonstrated themselves to you. And so my question for you, Kathy, around this is, as we go through with Lynn, you know, as we go through understanding what we're feeling at given times through the day, can you help me connect how that relates to my decision around whether I'm experiencing problems with the actual work I'm doing or the environment I'm doing it in? I am still kind of back in that scenario, and I don't know if it's just denial, you know, where I do not want to say, yeah, this is, you know, pack up and go, this is not working, or if there is something to be learned around that question.
All right. I think I understand your question, but can I ask something a little differently and see if I get it, what you're saying?
Yes.
It sounds like you're saying from Lynn, you're learning how to slow things down and be present with your feelings. And the more present you are with your feelings, the more you're going to understand what are the beliefs underneath those feelings that are guiding your behavior. Is that correct, first of all?
So the first part of it, yes. I'm not sure that we got to quite the beliefs point.
Mm-hmm.
So just slowing things down and kind of understanding what you're feeling at different times is kind of a baby step.
Okay. I think that's, you know, sounds like a perfect first step for you. You know, and Lynn is a consummate. She's trained so many different ways as a therapist, counselor, energy healer, so she really knows her stuff. When I work with feelings with people, I take it to a behavioral stage of, okay, let's use the silly example of me being so overwhelmed about the upcoming video shoot. If I stopped and looked at it and said, okay, what are you feeling? It's very clear to me I was overwhelmed and scared that I was going to blow it and spend money for nothing. And that, frankly, maybe I don't even know what I'm talking about. So understanding that feeling, overwhelm, fear, you know, abandonment, that I'm going to do it and everyone's going to abandon me, then allows me to look at the beliefs underneath that. Okay, wait a minute here. Do you really think you don't know what you're talking about? No. Do you, you know, and it helps me get to the core of what is keeping me stuck. So
okay.
I feel that that's a great next step. But to answer your question, are you asking me to help you tease out what is the thing you want to change most, the environment or your actual career? Are you asking that question?
Yes, I that's the question I need answered right now.
All right, so here's what I think it's really simple to figure this out. It's one question.
Okay.
And here it is. a job, divorce the idea of a job from the environment for a minute. Like,
okay.
Look at career coach, like what I do as a career coach, right? Or writer, speaker, trainer, graphic designer. There are tasks and functions that someone in that job needs to perform. And, of course, they're not static and they're not the same for everybody. But let's say a career coach has to do 10 things. You got to get clients. You've got to work with people. You have to have to model for change to help them, right? You have to have a way of reaching more clients, that kind of thing.
Okay.
That's the job. The job has a series of functional tasks. The environment has nothing to do with that. The environment is who is leading it, what are their foundational values, what are the outcomes this organization cares about, who are the kind of people that they attract. It's a completely different question.
Okay. Yes.
So when you're looking at what you're struggling with, put yourself in which one are you struggling with more, the literal tasks that you have to do or the people and the environment and the toxicity and the outcomes? What are you struggling with?
You know, I would maybe challenge you on the statement that the job and the environment are two separate things. The environment very often dictates operational dysfunctions and other issues that make the job.
And I still get that, Lisa.
Okay.
But what I'm trying to make you do is not look at the how. Environment is the how. I'm making you look at the what.
Okay.
So what's your job? What is your job function?
I'm a pathologist.
Pathologist.
Yes.
So what I would ask you, let me do this with you. If you went out tomorrow and researched 1,000 pathologists, and maybe it's time to do some research,
mm-hmm.
and in a wide range of settings.
Yes.
What would they all say they have to do? What would they all say is common about being a pathologist?
Okay, right, yep.
And I, you know, I could do that with career coaches. And if I interviewed 1,000 career coaches, they would tell me the 6 same things that every career coach has to do.
Okay.
The how is the environment. Who's leading it? How are they treating you? What's your schedule? How respectful are they of boundaries? The how is the environment right now. And, of course, that impacts the – so what are you struggling with, being a pathologist or the how of it?
Yeah, it's the how.
Okay. So what you need to do is start interviewing elsewhere, all over the place. Have you done that yet?
No, and it's because I question my worthiness or my, I don't know, my, I guess.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. Without exception, people who do not like their job, their environment, their employer, and are not interviewing, almost without exception, it's because they don't think they're worthy of getting another job.
Yes.
I know, because I lived this for 18 years. I stayed in the same company 11 years, and I should have left 4 years before that.
Yeah.
And I was scared. I was scared. Who's going to, if I really stopped and looked at my feelings and then my beliefs, I would have admitted, who's going to hire me? Am I really good? I mean, these people love me. But maybe when I go somewhere else, I'm going to be a joke. Oh, my gosh. So when we don't know, is it the environment or the job, the very quickest way is to start interviewing elsewhere. And you will come back with a lot more information than you have today. You might come back and say, you know what? I interviewed 5 different places, and they all have the same thing I hate in this environment.
Mm-hmm.
Shit. Excuse my language.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, then you might need to change being a pathologist. Does this make sense?
Yeah, it does, yes. It helps. Thank you so much.
So if I were to say to you it's time to start interviewing, do you know how to go about doing that?
I do. There are ways that I can network. I know a lot of people in the area. And also, there are ways to apply online and, you know, with larger organizations. So it's yes, I know how to do that.
And how do you,
I'm sad. I'm in that sad phase. Yeah, I'm sad.
Why?
In that sad
Not
phase.
Why?
Yeah, because
What's
I,
sad about it?
You know, that part where you say you're all excited at first and you're all, and I've invested a lot into this company and job. I have emotionally, financially, I've invested a lot of my life into this job and career. And it makes me feel wrong and a failure and that, you know, and like the lady before me said, Kimberly, I think, what am I going to take from this, you know, experience to make anything any better down the road? It just feels, I feel a failure and a little bit skeptical that that I'm going to get something better. And I'm sad for all of us. I'm sad for all of us in this situation.
So can I share something with you?
Sure.
Reality is what you project onto it. So the fact that you are sad at the idea of interviewing tells me 100% about your feelings. And how do I put this? There is nothing inherently sad about needing to leave a job. There's nothing inherently disappointing about it. It's what we make it.
Yeah.
So how long have you been where you are?
14 years.
Yeah. So what it tells me is it is sad-inducing for you that what you have isn't working out.
Yes.
That brings sadness to you, and it brings disappointment, and it brings feeling like a loser and letting yourself down. That's what it suggests to you.
Yes.
But what I would tell you, what I would ask you to do is reframe that. Nobody said 14 years was that you were going to be in the same job or same career for 30 years and love it. That's a projection, an assumption we were given somehow. You follow me?
I do.
So I'm not trying to make you wrong for being sad. Feel it. Feel it. Feel it. Write it down. But I would invite you to look at it differently. You may be able to find a magical position that brings you everything you dream of. Why wouldn't you be able to? Why not?
There's no reason why. It's just, you know, it's more dependent on people around me and the situation around me. I feel like it's more out of my control, Kathy.
Do you think all pathologists are difficult?
No, that would be an overstatement, but the majority, I would say, fall into that category, yes. And it's because, you know, a lack of management abilities, typically for physicians, and that's, you know, I think a fairly common situation, yeah.
Yeah, and I get that, and there are realities. Doctors and lawyers, a lot of them are miserable, and a lot of them have many of the same challenges. But
yes,
I want to tell you, I have a pediatric radiologist client, and this woman is unbelievable. This woman is changing the world, and if you met her, you would love her. And what we need to do is believe that it is possible that you can find an evolved, a spiritually evolved group.
Okay. All right.
This special group that exists and is waiting for you and is needing you.
Okay.
And I promise you, believe that. And you might go, yeah, I believe that. Ha. But if you, just like me in the coach world, I tell you, I really felt like disdainful. Because all I heard were these coaches that are narcissistic who want to make $1 million. Well, I realized the folly of that belief. That's ridiculous. It's a big world out there, you know. And the minute I said, I don't want to believe that anymore, I was introduced by 20 different people to the most amazing coaches. So,
okay,
can we work on that?
Yes, I will.
All right,
thank
Lisa,
you.
Thank you for sharing. That was so helpful. Thank you. And I'm so glad you love your energy session. Can't wait to hear more. Thank you. All right, everybody. I so appreciate these questions and allowing me to work with you and being brave enough to share. And I hope you always know I have love in my heart and empathy and compassion. And I want you to know there's something better for you, because there is. So I hope you have an amazing 2 weeks off. I'm going to miss you. I'm going to look at my calendar every Thursday and wonder what you're all doing at noon my time. Have a wonderful holiday. I wish you the most amazing 2016. And we are back together. I'm looking at my calendar. We're back together on January 7th at noon. All right, happy holidays, happy new year. Love to you all, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.